Part 1. Time Travel. Memory and Creation. The View from 50. One of the more bewildering aspects of growing older is that people constantly remind you of things that never happened. Of course, this is also the case when you're younger, but it's only with the passage of time that you're sure of the lie. I was driving up to Amherst with my parents a few years ago to accept an honorary degree, and my mother, who was excited and talkative, said, "I always knew you were going to be a writer." I said to myself, "No, you didn't. You always said I was going to be a doctor." My father said, "Yep, you always had your nose in a book." I said to myself, "No, I didn't." When I got to Amherst, one of the officials said, "Remember when we arrested you at that demonstration?" And he laughed. "That was something." I said to myself, "It was horrible. About 14 people on the whole campus protesting what was the beginning of the Vietnam War, and everyone else calling us commies. The so-called student left was composed of freaks, misfits, kids with glasses and hideous haircuts, dope smokers, a jazz pianist, and a handful of Quakers. I had the glasses and the haircut. It was no joke. My uncle in Boston heard about my arrest on the radio, and he called my parents, and people said, 'This is going to affect your whole future.' My whole future." Someone else that weekend said, "Well, when you were editor of the student newspaper..." I said to myself, "I was never editor of the student newspaper," which was actually quite a prestigious post and much more respectable than anything I'd have chosen or been given. I think perhaps I've made my point, and I don't want to belabor it, but the subject's been on my mind a great deal lately. I've just turned 50 years old. Who wrote this? 50. It's a dangerous age. For all men, and especially for one like me who has a tendency to board sinking ships. Middle age has all the scares a man feels halfway across a busy street, caught in traffic and losing his way. Or another one blundering in a black upstairs room full of furniture, afraid to turn the lights on because he'll see the cockroaches he smells. The man of 50 has the most to say, but no one will listen. His fears sound incredible because they're so new. He might be making them up. His body alarms him. It starts playing tricks on him. His teeth warn him. His stomach scolds. He's balding at last. A pimple might be cancer. Indigestion, a heart attack. He's feeling an unapparent fatigue. He wants to be young, but he knows he ought to be old. He's neither one, and terrified. His friends all resemble him, so there can be no hope of rescue. To be this age, and very far from where you started out, unconsoled by any possibility of a miracle, that's bad. To look forward and start counting the empty years left is enough to tempt you into some aptly named crime, or else to pray. Success is nasty and spoils you, the successful say, and only failures listen, who know nastiness without the winch of money. Then it's clear. The ship is swamped to her gunwales, and the man of 50 swims to shore to be marooned on a little island from which there's no rescue, but only different kinds of defeat. I wrote that in my novel, St. Jack, when I was 29 years old. And I think it's inaccurate as it applies to me. I can't identify with that person or relate to that state of being middle-aged and clapped out. Nor can I share even remotely the sense of loss Philip Larkin expresses in his 50th birthday poem, The View. The view is fine from 50, experienced climbers say. So, overweight and shifty, I turned to face the way that led me to this day. Instead of fields and snow caps and flowered lanes that twist, the track breaks at